Dominique Browning once held many high-power editorial positions at influential magazines, among them Newsweek, Esquire, Texas Monthly, and House and Garden. These days, she writes a monthly column for the Environmental Defense Fund's website and gardens at her house by the sea in Rhode Island. How Browning got booted out of the lofty editor's seat and into a ground-level relationship with Mother Nature is the subject of her new memoir, Slow Love. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
Dominique Browning was editor-in-chief of Condé Nast's House and Garden magazine for nearly 13 years. A fabulously high-powered job in a Devil Wears Prada kind of world, filled with business meetings in Paris and glitzy benefit dinners in Manhattan and deadlines and pressure. Then in 2007, House and Garden suddenly folded, and Browning was given 4 days to pack up her Hermes silk scarves and walk out into the world of the redundant. She was in her 50s, divorced, with 2 almost grown sons and a waffling cad of a lover who, after 7 years with Browning, still couldn't decide whether or not to get a divorce or even move out of the apartment he still shared with his wife. Browning's savings began to evaporate in the stock market. She couldn't sleep, and due to nervous, nocturnal nibbling, she packed on the pounds. Thanks to a hyper-vigilant gynecologist, Browning also discovered, in time, that she had kidney cancer. Browning has just published a memoir about losing her job and shedding her old identity. It's called Slow Love, and after reading it, all I can think is, "Sister, if this is what unemployment looks like, hand me that pink slip now." Especially to the nearly 10% of Americans who are currently out of work, Browning's memoir will read like a luscious fantasy of unemployment. Browning recounts how she sold her beloved home outside New York City, moved permanently into her newly renovated vacation house by the sea in Rhode Island, and threw herself into gardening, Bible reading, and mastering the Goldberg variations on her piano. The subtitle of Browning's memoir underscores its privileged class perspective. It reads, "How I Lost My Job, Put On My Pajamas, and Found Happiness." The pajamas, by the way, are from Brooks Brothers Men's Department, which Browning, a connoisseur, insists make the best pajamas for grown women. But in fairness, Browning from the get-go acknowledges that hers is not a story of financial ruin, but rather psychological collapse. Slow Love doesn't claim to be a representative tale of unemployment. Rather, it reads more like a female romance about self-resilience, much like Elizabeth Gilbert's juggernaut, Eat, Pray, Love. Taken on its own terms, Slow Love is a compelling and often funny addition to that burgeoning literary subset of autobiography, namely women's memoirs about being knocked down in midlife and painfully, arthritically, figuring out a way to get up again. The most wince-making sections of Slow Love are devoted to Browning's long love affair with the legally separated but married man she calls Stroller because he strolls away at crucial moments. Browning astutely diagnoses but remains enthralled to Stroller's weirdly intoxicating potion of loving unavailability. One of their most grotesque exchanges occurs when they're eating lunch out in New York a few days after September 11th, and Stroller announces that he's disinviting Browning to his country house and inviting his wife instead because he's worried about another terrorist attack. Browning, who feels as though she's been banished from paradise, describes her response as the derangement of a howling eve. Yet this dance of romantic ambivalence continues until the spell is weakened by Browning's cancer and the months that follow, months of unhurried, focused attention to family and friends, her own body, and nature. Browning calls this shift in focus slow love, which she says is about knowing what you've got before it's gone. What she ultimately learns has much more to do with recognizing that everything, work, love, is all too temporary. Towards the end of her nuanced memoir, she drives home this epiphany by describing the bizarre existence of the purple sea snail, which floats on the ocean on a raft of mucus. Browning writes beautifully about nature and its lessons, so I'll let her take it from here. Difficult to imagine, Browning says, such a fragile hold on life, in a home anchored by no more than the thread of a baby's spittle. Perhaps we only think we have a surer grip. We float our hopes on bubbles of optimism and opportunity, and the lines that keep us alive are easily snipped.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Slow Love by Dominique Browning. You can join us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air. And you can download podcasts of the show at freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Melody Kramer is our associate producer of online media. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Broad Superintendents Academy, preparing senior executives to become urban school district superintendents, on the web at broadacademy.org. From the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Amy Schatz of the Wall Street Journal about the battle between the telecom industry, internet companies, and the FCC over regulating internet traffic. Also, Father Greg Boyle. He has a new book about his 20 years working with LA gang members. His anti-gang program, Homeboy Industries, just had to lay off 300 workers. Join us.